Juggling can be a lot of fun. Juggling is a bit like life, really. In life, we have our high moments when things are going really, really well and we're reaching the top. We're really going for it. But also in life, we can have hard times. Sometimes life can become very, very fast and a little bit chaotic. Woo! But life is all about enjoyment and getting to know people, making connections. Hello, hello, hello. Making friends. Life is all about learning new things. Whoa. Life is all about eating and enjoying each other's company. But sometimes we know that life can be really difficult. Life can become a really bumpy, road. And sometimes you can end up falling. No, that comes later. Life can become a really bumpy road. Oh, yes. And sometimes life can just become really chaotic, really, really, we really don't know what's going on. These shorts are a bit longer than the others. I've just discovered that this morning. Sometimes life can go so bad sometimes, we can end up hiding away. And we find it hard to come back. Sometimes church is the last place we want to go. We want to just hide away sometimes. But don't be like that, because we should be here for each other, encouraging each other during the difficult times. Life can sometimes seem like it's just going round and round and round. Oh dear, I can't blame the shorts for that one. Life can seem like it's just going round and round and round and round and round and round in circles. But actually, life is a gift. And life should be really, really good, shouldn't it? But sadly, as we know, sometimes we can end up falling flat on our face. And unless we made those connections, unless we made those friendships, it's really hard to pick ourselves up again. But as Christians, we actually believe in a God who actually helps us. Not only do we have our church family during those times, oh, I'm so thankful I'm a Christian, because life can be quite tough. But when you've got a family supporting you, it makes all the difference. And knowing that we've got a God who created life in the first place, who loves life, he helps us. Whee! He helps us bounce back and carry on with the gift of life that he has given to us. Going to do a song which we did in our holiday club. Our holiday club was called Psalm Tree Island. Can you see the link? Psalm Tree Island rather than Palm Tree Island. And you see the Psalms. I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? I love the Bible because it's so honest and it's so real. It talks about how God created life, how he gave us the gift of life, this wonderful life. But he doesn't control us. He guides us. And of course, sometimes we make mistakes and we can all end up falling flat on our face. I love the Psalms because the Psalms are all about people who are just like you and just like me. The Psalms are about real people who had the high times, really good times, about people who really struggled in life and sometimes fell flat on their face. But they discovered one thing, the ones who wrote the Psalms, that during the good times and the bad times, God is the answer to life. The one who created life in the first place is also the giver of life, the one who can guide us in our lives. And Psalm Tree Island song is all about this. This is what the theme's all about. So I'm going to sing it to you. And then, you know, this is an all-age service. We're going to pretend that we're on a tropical island and we're all going to join in. I brought along a friend of mine. It's a bag. But inside the bag is strange. Once again, at Cottenham Holiday Club, as soon as I lift the bag, there's this cheer go up just for a bag. But inside there is a cheeky monkey cord. Charlie, how you come? He says, I've aged. Don't mention Mickey. Who's that old granddad? Oi, Charlie, no, don't get your revenge. No, no, sorry about this. I'm sorry, yes. So he says, you've all aged. No, we're not at the holiday club now. But Psalm Tree Island was so much fun. We had loads and loads of time. Guess what? Charlie went to an island once. He actually owned an island. You owned an island? I never knew that. It's true. Well, what do you mean you owned an island? You have to be really, really rich to own an island. He was playing hide and seek with his mates. And he found a boat. And he hid underneath the awning, underneath the covers on a boat. Charlie, you should never get a boat. I'll get on a boat like that. He did. It was tied up, so he thought he'd be okay. And he hid from all of his friends. And it was fantastic. None of them found him. But then Charlie started to, well, Apparently there was some snoring coming from the boat. Charlie had dropped off to sleep. And somehow the boat actually managed to drift out into the river and it started to go down the river. And guess where? Guess what was in the river? You'll never guess what was in the river. Crocodiles. And this was on the River Cam. No, not really. This was when he was a little monkey and he lived in Africa. Anyway, he was floating down the river and he looked out and he could see these crocodiles. So he said, "Nice crocodiles, please don't eat me. Eat Smithy instead." Smithy wasn't there. Anyway, eventually the boat landed on an island. And Charlie jumped out and he thought, "Yes, I've made it to the island. Brilliant." And that's when he saw it. What, Charlie? One tree. A tree. A very special tree. It was a very small island, but at least he had one tree. What sort of tree was it? You'll never guess. It was totally awesome. It was the biggest tree like this he'd ever seen. Any ideas what sort of tree it might be? Bit louder. It was a banana tree, and Charlie loves big bananas. That's why he loves Smithy. You started it. Hey, anyway, Charlie thought, this is totally awesome. He's found an island full of bananas. Could you think of anything better than that? Yeah, I could actually, yeah. But Charlie thought, this is totally awesome. And he started to, "Charlie, so you found this island. So as soon as you found this island, you jumped back in the boat and you went to get your family and your friends so they could all enjoy the bananas with you, didn't you? Didn't you? Good." So he jumped back in the boat and he went to get all his family and friends so they could all share the bananas together. Well, that's really, really good. Did you? No. He started to eat the bananas. And one led to another, and the other one led to another. And Charlie was climbing higher and higher up the tree, enjoying his bananas. And then it was nightfall, and guess what Charlie was still doing? Eating bananas! And he thought, this is totally awesome! His own island! He actually renamed it to Charlie's Banana Island. Whoa, keep out. And then in the middle of the night, he was still eating bananas, and suddenly he had a tummy ache. He has no idea why. And he suddenly realized he was on an island in the middle of a river surrounded by crocodiles with a tummy ache all on his own. He wants a big R. He wants a bigger R than that. He wants an R from over here. He wants an R from over here. He wants an R from over here. Charlie, stop milking it. Anyway, Charlie thought, I don't like it here. I wish I'd gone home and told everybody about this island. In the morning, Charlie's tummy was really poorly, but he managed to get back onto the boat. And he got home, and he told his family and his friends all about the bananas and Banana Island. And they all went to the island together, and they all enjoyed the bananas together. He said, Charlie said, you know, no monkey is an island. You big banana, it's no man or no person. It doesn't mention monkeys. We all need each other, don't we? We all need each other. No one said yes. I'm going to try that again. We all need each other, don't we?
Yes.
You see, we've been given this awesome life. Charlie, no monkey is an island. We've been given these awesome, incredible lives, and we need to enjoy them together. Let's give Charlie a round of applause. Okay, Charlie, in your bag. Well, life is a journey full of ups and downs, and I thought I'd do a little story with you. You see, the Bible shows us all these different lives, and then the Bible then says, how are you living your life? Are you expecting just everything to be plain sailing? And we're going to be looking at some of these themes later on. But I want to look at some lives in the Bible today, and how they lived their life. Bethlehem was our happy home. We had plenty of food to eat. Yum, yum. With loads of fruit and loads of veg, but don't forget the meat. But then there was a famine, which meant our food was gone. So my husband and I, with our two boys, knew it was time for us to move on. This lady's name is Naomi, and at first everything was good. She was riding the high. She was enjoying life in Bethlehem with her husband, with her two children. But then there was a famine, and it was time to move on. Move on to a new land where she wasn't going to know anyone at all. That's pretty tough, isn't it? They were going to be different to everyone. But aren't we all different? In fact, it's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different to me. I can learn from you and you can learn from me and enjoy each other's company. Eventually, we arrived in a new land and good, people were kind to us. I still miss Bethlehem, but I didn't want to make a fuss. Then I was proud because my two boys grew into strong and handsome men. They both got married, and I was so joyful, so happy, I began to forget all about Bethlehem. Have you heard that? They've been made to feel welcome. Doesn't that make all the difference? They've been made to feel welcome. Because we're all different, aren't we? Looking around this room this morning, we are all different. We're all on our own journey of life. It's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different from me. I can learn from you and you can learn from me and enjoy each other's company. But then my joy turned to sorrow. You see, my husband and sons all died. Their widows tried to comfort me and together we all cried. I'm going home, I said to them. I'm going back to Bethlehem. But you're both young, so you go back to your homes and start again. But Ruth said, no, don't let me go. Don't make me go. I want to be with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God too. You see, Ruth, my precious daughter-in-law, didn't want to see me alone. And she traveled the long, long journey to make Bethlehem her home. But that meant that now Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, was going to become the stranger in the land, the foreigner in the land. She was going to be different. But then we're all different, aren't we? In fact, it's plain to see, so plain to see. I'm different to you, you're different to me. I can learn from you and you can learn from me and enjoy each other's company. Yes, Ruth traveled. So Ruth gave up everything and became a stranger, a foreigner in my land. Yes, Ruth did all of that for me. That's why I think she's so grand. But now Ruth looked different and spoke a language that no one understood. But the people in Bethlehem, they admired her courage and they welcomed her in love. It all turned out, you know, it went on. So do you see the ups and the downs in this story? We all have those in our lives, don't we? At first, everything was great. And then there was this terrible famine, and they had to move to a new land. And while they were there, they set up a new life, and everything was good. The children were getting big. They got married. And Naomi even started to forget all about Bethlehem. She had a new life now. But then disaster struck. And you know, at first, Naomi became bitter towards God. She became bitter towards him. Do you blame her? Her husband and sons, eventually, they all died, so it was time for her to go home. But Ruth, one of her daughter-in-law, said, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I love you so much, Naomi. I don't want to see you alone. I will travel your journey of life with you. And thankfully, it all worked out. Ruth met a wonderful man called Boaz, and eventually they had a baby. And Naomi was able to praise God again. Isn't that tremendous? So in the ups and the downs of the life, it's so easy to drift away. So we've been looking at, and oh, by the way, she was also, her granddad was David. And then, of course, that carries on to eventually Jesus. So how cool is that? Ruth gave up everything to be with Naomi, and she ended up becoming the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Jesus. David was playing his harp, writing songs like, I lift my eyes to the mountains, or, wow, look at the stars in the sky, Psalm 8. All these amazing psalms. Look at the psalms again, they're so tremendous. And suddenly the sheep were bleating away, just enjoying life. Bah, bah, when suddenly the bear became a bear. Bear, bear. That sounds like a bear. And David looked up to see this bear coming towards the sheep. Well, if that was me, I'd have gone, I like your sheep, but not that much. I'd have legged it. But David didn't. He stuck around for those sheep. And he saved those sheep from the bears, from the lions. And so David became a hero. So the sheep absolutely loved him. We love you, David. We think you're great. It's great. A holiday club, they laugh. Here, you just look at me as I'm weird. Yeah, it's great. But the high life, he was being loved by his sheep. And it wasn't long before David wasn't just a shepherd boy. He had become, the people loved him too, because he'd taken on a giant in the battle. And he had won because he knew, because he'd spent time on the mountain, he knew. He'd looked up at the stars in the sky and he knew the one who created those stars. And he put his hope and his trust in the one who did that. And he knew that God would help him to remove this giant of a man, this evil man who was defeating God's people. He needed to be removed, and he knew that God would give him the strength and the power. And so David, this shepherd boy, beat the warrior. And it wasn't long before David wasn't just a sheep's hero, but now he was the hero of the people. Even at first, the king loved him. Life was good, wasn't it? Life was good. So our next theme, see, around Psalm 2 Island, there's all this surf, and it was tremendous, and life should be good, enjoying the high life. But also on our Psalm 3 Island, we had lots and lots of mountains. And we talked about a mountaintop experience. Who's ever had an experience that's just so tremendous, you just never wanted it to stop? Yes, Miffy said, yeah, absolutely. Hired just the two of you, by the looks of it. You're miserable lot, the rest of you. Yeah, life can be so good. I remember I used to go on house parties, young people's house parties. Fantastic Bible teaching, fantastic worship. Loads of awesome girls. When I was a teenager, I never wanted those to stop. I thought, this is a glimpse of heaven. It was tremendous. Honestly, and have you had those times when you felt really close to God? Who's ever been up a mountain and you just felt close to God up that mountain? The beauty of the creation. Well, David, I don't know whether he was up a mountain or on the hillside, but he saw the stars at night and he realized how great God was. So we should have mountaintop experiences. But sadly, whenever there's a mountain, there's also a valley. When there's a mountain range, there is a valley. And life isn't always all plain sailing. Plain sailing was our next theme. Plain sailing was the next theme. Life isn't all plain sailing, is it? There were times I have been sailing. And at first the boat was moving along nicely. And our lives can be moving along nicely, can't they? Life can be moving along nicely. You're thinking life is good. You see, there's nothing spectacular happening, but it's good. It's moving along. I'm enjoying life. And then the winds may stop and the boat just comes to a stop. And our lives can feel like that sometimes. We feel like we're just getting nowhere fast. Nothing seems to be happening. In fact, life can almost seem, dare I say the word, boring. I'm not achieving anything. I'm not moving on. Nothing's happening. And life can become frustrating and boring, and you get a bit fed up. Have you felt like that? Yeah, some of you are a bit shy to be honest here, but we can be honest with our people. Yeah. And life just doesn't seem to be happening. What's the point? What's the point in life? Nothing seems to be happening. But worse still, a storm may come when you're on the boat. And that's even worse because you're being tossed around all over the place. And just like Naomi, you're crying out for God. Maybe you're becoming a bit bitter towards God. Why is this happening? And then, of course, there's a valley. And we learnt about how David, who had become the hero. Oh, let's go up the mountain first. Let's go up the mountain. Time is beating us this morning, but let's go up the mountain. You see, we were also looking at the character of Jesus. Jesus, you know, was the exact opposite to David. David started as a nobody and started to make his way up and became famous. Jesus started out as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of life itself, the giver of life, and he became a nobody. He was traveling in the wrong direction, wasn't he? Some of us are so keen to be going up the ladder, but Jesus chose to become poor for us because he loved us that much. And then he gathered people around him so that we could get to know him. And he walked through the streets as a normal person. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was people's mate. Isn't that tremendous? He said, what a fantastic faith we've got. What a tremendous faith we've got. Our king becomes our mate, walking through the streets. And it wasn't long before the disciples, they thought it was amazing. There's no doubt about it. They saw blind people made to see, hungry people fed. But he also just chatted like a friend and shared more and more about God. God started to become real to them. Rather than just a God telling them, you can't do this, you can't do that. He talked about a God you could actually get to know and who loved you. But then he took Peter, James and John up a mountain. It was a high mountain, the Bible says it was a high mountain. And you know, I wonder if you've ever been up a mountain. Recently, Chloe and I went up in Switzerland. We actually went to the 007 mountain, James Bond mountain. It was totally awesome up there. My daughter got a bit embarrassed with me going, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, Hardwick, John Hardwick. take my photo, please?
No.
But, oh, it's so awesome. But the views up there are just so tremendous. I juggled in the snow up in the mountain. But I loved it. But also, even though it was crowded with people, you just felt, God is amazing. Jesus took his disciples up a mountain. Sometimes we need to go up mountains. We need to look at the views and say, isn't God awesome? But then something tremendous happened. I can just imagine James, John, and Peter enjoying the views, and then suddenly somebody saying, Peter, look. And Peter turns, what could possibly be better than these beautiful views? And he turned, and there was Moses. Moses, a great leader from the past who had died, there he was. And they couldn't believe his eyes. Woohoo! And then it got even better because Elijah, this great prophet from God, was also there, the guy who called down fire from heaven. And Jesus is there. And the disciples were well and truly gobsmacked. Peter didn't really know what to say, so he sort of said, let's build some tents. One for you, Jesus. One for you, Peter. I'm not Peter. One for Moses. One for Elijah. He wanted that moment to last forever. His heroes were all there. Wouldn't you? God gave him a tremendous experience of God, of himself. Isn't that tremendous? Why? Because they were about to come down the mountain. And things were going to go really nasty. And they needed to catch a glimpse of the God who created the universe. They needed to see that people like Moses and Elijah were still alive. Because this is not just the story. This life goes on forever. And so they saw this tremendous thing. They even heard the voice of God. This is my son. Listen to him. I love him to bits. This is my son. What a tremendous experience. Have you ever had tingles sort of come into your body when you got really excited? Whoa, they had one of those experiences. I don't know about you, but I've had times like that. There's one stage in my ministry, if you like want to use these sort of terms, I was successful. I led the all-age worship at Easter People, Spring Harvest, these big conferences. I remember doing the all-age worship at the Baptist Assembly in front of 3,000 Baptists. I had an album with Kingsway Music of songs. I had an album with Spring Harvest. I was writing books. My diary, I could pick and choose because I was a popular children's evangelist. I hadn't looked for it. God had just given it to me. And at the all-age worship at Spring Harvest, I had grown men becoming Christians because they went along to the all-age worship because it was the shortest. They went to Spring Harvest with their families, with their wives. They didn't really want to be there because it was Christian, but they decided to go along to the all-age worship celebration because it was only an hour long, and they ended up becoming Christians. And life, in one sense, you could say, I was riding the waves. Life was really good. I can pick and choose, so I could balance my diary because my diary was... I was getting so many invitations, I can say, I could go there, and then I can have a few, and then I can go there. It's really good. Life was good. Less than 2 years later, I wasn't getting invited to Spring Harvest East. By the way, I don't think I'd done anything wrong. They'd just moved on. Easter People had stopped. Kingsway had been taken over by an American company, and they didn't want Christian English kids' songs. They were just importing the Americans. Spring Harvest had finished for me. The publisher who wrote my Holly Clubs decided they didn't want to publish any more Holly Clubs. And my diary just went, thum, and nothing was coming in. No paid work. And I was scared. So I'd had this mountaintop experience, and I suddenly had nothing. But God carried us on. We kept going. God kept providing. He shaped my work, so I do far more schools work now. I'm reaching far more non-Christian children than I've probably ever reached in my life. But it was a hard lesson to learn. It really was. And I'm sure we've all got the times when you've made it to the top in one sense and things are good. And then suddenly you get hit. You end up in the valley. Valleys can be quite beautiful, but they're often very soggy because all the water's gathered there. The sun can't reach you, so you feel cold and you may feel alone and scared. And David took his sheep through the valley and they were scared. But the sheep who stuck close to David were with him all the way. I wonder what stage of life you're going through, because we went through the valley And then we said, why follow the guide? Our time is more or less gone, but I wonder why follow the guide? Why do we carry on following God during these difficult times? I need some people. You see, life, I've already done the juggling. Life is a bit like a juggling act. But also, life can become, wow, there's just too many plates spinning, aren't there? There's too many things. Oops, there's too many things going on sometimes. It's hard to keep all those plates in the air. Who wants to have a go? Anybody else? Yeah? Come and spin a plate with us. Come and spin a plate. That's it. Anybody else? Any other children? Yeah, come on. Craig, out you come, mate. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Out you come. Brilliant. Let's try and get these plates spinning together. Okay. Oh, I'll give you one in a second. Let's do it together. Shall we do it together? Look. That's it. That's it. We can do it together, can't we? I'll just hold that there. Everybody can see. This is okay. Let's do it together. Yes, well done. Look, you've got it sorted. She's done it. How are they getting on behind me? How are they getting on behind me? Well done. You've done it. You're keeping your plate spinning. Oh, she's just, wow, fantastic. Give her a round of applause. Well done. She's left it to me. Yes. Did they manage to do it without actually cheating, or did they just do that? They just did that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, Craig's really going for it. Come on. Oh. I'll show you, look. I'll be your guide. I'll be your guide. This is what you have to do. You start with a stick in your hand. Not right up there. You hold the stick at the bottom. Put your hand up the stick. Finger going up to give it a bit more strength. Hold the stick vertically, not that way. You'll never learn to do it that way. You have to have it that way. And then you put the plate on. You give it a tiny spin. And then your arm is hardly moving. It's all in the wrist. And up it goes. Yeah? Oh, that's it. So tiny. Watch again, look. Oh, look, I make it look so easy. But tiny, tiny movements. Up it goes. Keep that plate spinning. Oh, it's not easy. Craig, yes. He got there. It's not easy, is it, keeping all these... He's showing off already. That's brilliant. Life isn't easy, but actually, if I spent time with these guys, I can guarantee... I was going to say, I could guarantee as... their guide, I could guarantee that within the week they would be spinning plates, but I'm not absolutely sure looking at them now. But the guide makes all the difference. Life is so hard sometimes, isn't it? Life is so hard. Look, you can see how hard it is just to spin a plate. But God wants to be our guide. He's not going to control you. He's just there for you. He's going to lead you through these dark valleys, through these difficult times. But he's going to be there with you by your side. It's so easy during the valley to drift away. It's so easy during the difficult times to drift away. It's so easy when you're riding those waves of life and life is good to think, I don't need God, and to move away. But God says, whether you're riding, oh, he's done it again, riding the waves of life, whether you're on a mountain, whether you're going for the valley, whether you're not really moving on that boat, he says, stay close, whatever stage of life you're in. Let's just get it going. Just do it for you. Look, here we go. Here we go. With a bit of practice, though, he would have learned to do it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's it. How did you get on, Andrew? Did you do it? No, he didn't do it. But, hey, did he get close? He didn't even get close. Oh, yeah. Even the younger struggling with this, you see. It's not as easy as it looks. I'll get it going for you. But can they keep it going themselves? But life, having somebody there to guide you and to help you during the difficult times makes all the difference. As I say, within a couple of hours, I could get them spinning plates, but we haven't got that this morning. Yes, they're already trying tricks this morning. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. I'd like to, our time is almost finished, but I'm going to read a prayer with you. I'd like you to join in with this. This is what I call the juggler's prayer. I may not be the best juggler, but I learned to juggle as a child. I never knew anyone else who could juggle. I taught myself, and I don't know why, apart from the fact God obviously had a plan for me, and he had a plan for you. Now, for me, I'm this crazy guy who goes off doing these crazy things, who somehow manages to keep the attention of children who have no faith at all. And they're ready to listen. But I don't know what God's plan is to you and what stage of life, whether you're riding the highways, whether you're up on a mountain, whether things are good, stay close during the good times. Or whether your boat has slowed right down, or whether you're in a storm, or whether you're in a valley, stay close. Allow God to guide you. Because life is another one, love. Life is forever. Did you see what I did there? I'll say it again. life is forever. As a Christian, this is what we believe.